Hello and good morning, and welcome to this Connecting with the Stars with Mary Edwards. I'm here with Raymond Webb. Nice to see you this morning, Ray.
Good morning, Mary. Blessings.
All righty. Well, it's good to have you here. After a brief intro on Ray's background, we will dive into his really interesting story, what he's doing with children, which is right up my alley of loving kids and supporting kids in this time. They really need it. And about what he's doing, which is wonderful. So it's nice to have you here. So Ray has some exciting info to share today on how to heal children, how to work with children that he's been learning. He's finding a new way too to respond to the presence, his presence, and what he's here to do. So his journey started 32 years ago when he started his quest for self-awareness as to why his life wasn't in harmony with God. He had to find healthy outlets for his emotions. He first sought God by diving into the Christian religion. For 25 years, he exhaustively studied the scriptures for the truth. He found that the love and compassion he desired wasn't the foundation, the love and foundation he desired wasn't the foundation of many churches. He needed to see God in himself, regardless of what others believed. It all started to come together when he decided to throw every belief out the window by purging what were his true intentions and establishing a foundation built on love. The days are upon us in which the intentions of our heart will dictate whether we can help others. Children must feel safe before they allow you to befriend them. Then we can release them from trauma and programming. But only with the purest of intentions can we help them restructure their heart around their parents, home, and community. He's truly here to restore his heart and others so he can help others find the heart of the child within us all. Well, that's beautiful. And I agree wholeheartedly. I grew up as an Episcopalian. I didn't believe that. I went to all these different religions and then came to find that the love was in myself. So anyway, and that's what we're here to help share today. So why don't you start with your story, and we'll happily listen to how you got to here today with me. Yep.
Thank you. Thank you, Mary. Let me start with an overview. I believe we're all biometric computers. That's just, it's so easy for me to say, let's download something. But it all started with me when I was born. I was a product of a satanic ritual from your local archdiocese, but I survived. And what they succeeded in doing, what they did, they implanted a lot of negative emotions and traumas into me right at my birth. And growing up, I experienced being sodomized, being all kinds of stuff. And for me to put it in perspective, I needed to experience these things so I can help other people today. And so to me, it's a whitewash. The love that I got from God, the programming, the traumas are being removed on a daily basis as I apply myself to help other people. It's almost like when you get in a predicament, how do I help this child? All of a sudden it comes to your light that, well, let's work on this here with you first, and then you'd be able to help the child. So, I want to get back on the history. Way back before this, when the beginning of this planet, when humanity was here, there was a blending of solar rishi and other light forms that came together to get all the, Orion groups and the draconians out of the Orion system, and Lyra and Syria, trying to defeat the negative entities there. And then through all that, they came up with councils and ideas, and they started creating angelic beings designed to be able to defeat what they call the Black Sun Matrix. And it's been around a long time. So, make a long story short, my avatar, which is the fourth density avatar, joined up with a fallen angel, or basically incarnated into one of these new angelic creations that was a combination of solar Rishi energy and a fallen angel energy for cover. So when you saw this being, you saw the fallen angel. Dragon comes in, gets killed, and the soul gets captured, and they take the soul essence of the solar Rishi in the blanket of fallen angel, and place it right in the middle of their operations. And if this happened with many solar Rishi beings, you know, I couldn't tell you how many because I really don't know what their experience is. So yeah, they took the fourth density avatar and fourth density fallen angel, and that soul was captured by design and placed in the most strategic place to basically limit, put a cap on the negative programming that Black Sun can do in the solar system. But also it learned all the architecture, all the geometric codes and everything like that to restore today. So the solar Rishi energy was released 12/21/21, the winter. And since that date, I personally started waking up and started connecting the dots and so on and so forth. But what that did, that's when the Black Sun Matrix got really damaged completely. So most of the entities left, and of course there's still a lot of other negative things, but what that did is it gave us access to all the geometric codes to restore trauma, even raised from the dead. So, you know, my experience in the church, I wasn't happy with the results of prayer, of healing and helping people. But here we have the codes to help every child, even better, every child in us that suffered these traumas, and through abductions, through all kinds of stuff, is now at our disposal. And, you know, get back to my life growing up. What I was really doing, I was a probe, going into all these experiences, picking up all the geometric codes and looking at the architecture. Oh, you know, this institution when I was 15, this jail, that jail, this drug den, you know, this, all this kind of stuff. I kept people that were on the street, they kept gravitating to me, which was by design. They were sent to me, and I was basically picking up their codes and their architectures and trying to figure out, you know, how could we help them? And this is all subconscious. You know, in the early 70s, I was a mess. You know, I thought I was a hippie, you know, freak and loving all that other stuff. But my life was a total disaster. I couldn't really function because everything was distorted. And it was by design. I was sent to experience these things. And, you know, in the Christian church, that's what it was. I was judged. I was separated. I was done all that things. But then when I said my intentions, I was able to help people because I knew right where they were coming. I knew right who their demons were. I knew them.
Because you had already experienced this yourself. So once you learned, you were able to, like we all do, be able to help others once we got saw the dark, dark, dark parts of ourselves and how we had to heal before we could really help other people heal. And we still are, right? It's a long process.
Yeah. So then the last winter solstice, the 12/21/22, they kicked it up a notch. So now I can actually flow in healing and deliverance and stuff like that. So it's just a matter of, you know, you think about Yahshua or Jesus, he was real, but he came in through what they call a virgin, Mary, which was a different energy. He was able to come as a 12th dimensional being. Me, I was down the bottom. And all of a sudden now, I'm starting to remove the veils and I'm starting to climb the scales. And basically, you know, we all want to be able to help each other like Yeshua did. We all want to be able to see with our eyes that when people need compassion and they need love and they need forgiveness. And, you know, it brings me to my point is, if I really want to help anybody, I had to start by resetting my intentions. So, you know, get really upset at a person, spouse, partner. And I reset that. I said, wait a minute, where's that going to lead? I know where that's going to lead, you know, a couple of divorces and stuff like that.
No, and they're done that. A lot of us have.
So reset it to love. And what happens? All of a sudden, I started getting positive responses back. So it's been trial and error, but it's really about resetting my frequency from being, you know, negative and attacking people. People move back when I would come to, you know, meet them. Now they're coming to meet me. There's, how are you? And it's totally inverted, right?
It's fun, isn't it, too? Because when we reset our thoughts and intentions and accept, let go of some of the negative patterns that we were either learned from somebody else or the patterns that we had, we are free to ask for and become whoever we really want to be if we work hard enough and find the right, navigate ourselves to real love, which is self-love, then we can go help other people. And I've been waking up like you have for a long time, and I was dark and had abuse and had many different things like a lot of us have. And the lower we go, the higher we can rise is what my belief has become more and more over the last few years since I've been going through my awakening recently too. And those dates were very important to me as well as many, because we are now faced with our choices every day. Are we going to live in fear or freedom and love? Are we going to live in negativity or peace and love? I mean, we grew up with us older ones who grew up in the 60s. And I started teaching kids at 19. I moved to Boulder. I changed my life. I thought, what the hell's going on? What's wrong with me? And, you know, step by step, layer by layer, as we have the courage and the guts to go inside and look at those demons and look at the patterns that every parent, you know, we, by one, our culture, our thoughts are already really much in some, already instilled in us. So we're responsible for our feelings every day and our emotions. And thank goodness that we've had the support of other sentient beings. Our own self-love has come into fruition. And that is the only way we can really learn to be resilient, to forgive, to more forgive, and let go and love, because, or we get stuck in that negative, dark Debbie Downer pattern. And so I really appreciate your courage to step out of it. Hasn't been easy for me either, and a lot of us here listening. But wow, what a story, because when we get caught in those, I mean, I remember even leaving, and I liked my Episcopal church at age 5 or 6. That was right when I went on my first spacecraft at age 5. And then I jump on my bike and ride my bike a mile away to the Baha'i Temple, because it brought me peace and safety and serenity with all the other programs and things that I was in at the time that started at age 3, really yucky stuff that I'm now out of, free from because I've chosen to, and some of the, you know, our intentions, we do have free will. We can make decisions and we can change our lives. We change our DNA. We can change our attitude. We can change everything, cellularly, emotionally, psychically, all those things that you're talking about. So anyway, I really herald you in talking about it today, and because it's not an easy journey. And look what you're doing. You were always, even when you were doing your drug days, people were already coming to you because they saw the light, and that allowed you to see your own light, like me. I've always taught kids. I've always taught college. I've taught seniors. I teach mental health professionals now. You know, the psychology, religion classes we did in college, you know, it all just, we see the pattern. I see my life clearly now. Was it definitely a plan all the way along that just I kept going and going and going. And here we are right now talking about it on a show, saying how we made it. And I'm proud of you for taking those steps, because it ain't easy, and it's alone and lonely and scary a lot of the times. But thank goodness we asked for the help, and they were, our sentient beings, our galactic family were there supporting us, teaching us, instilling us, guiding us along the path that we had to make those decisions to take, or we wouldn't be sitting here right now today at this time of renaissance and revolution and evolution and shift, like 60s, nothing. This is like that and steroids right now.
Right.
And it's like everything is crashing and burning so we can rebuild to happiness and light and not fear and negativity. So continue. I'm so, you know, we're from the same era, so I appreciate that. We can look back on a long history of where we've come. And that's, I'm grateful for that every day. And I know you are too.
One of the technical terms, I was type 3 indigo, and that's what it was. It was a light being with a covering of a dark being, but the light being always had control. So through all my lives, you know, past lives and every life that I went back and regressed and watched, it was always the same scenario. It was the combination of getting into trouble because I let the dark one go. And I had an issue with Concubine almost every life.
Oh, really? Well, you really got... I was always in Atlantis. I was a doctor healing organs and pyramids. I was, you know, an architect, which I do a lot now in my life now. But, you know, whatever we come through, each step is a learning lifetime for us to improve, to make the choice if we want to go in that direction. I was murdered a couple of times at the Salem witchcraft and, you know, blah, blah, blah. We've all been through those. But unless we believe in reincarnation and are willing to keep our minds open to the possibilities that this is, that we do have a choice, that we can be open and resilient to the possibilities of truth, because that's what we're all doing. We're all healing in love together now. And that's why we're talking about all these. We want to create safe spaces for people to really expand and share and help ignite and inspire others to have the courage to talk about their stories, because each story matters. Your story matters. All of our stories matter. And thank goodness, as my dad, who passed a few years ago, says, Mary, I'm so glad you have your tribe now to be able to talk about these otherworldly pieces, and for you that you can really step in to the truth of the seen and unseen. From ETs on planet, off planet, that we understand now, have been amongst us forever, and they're right beside us right now, guiding us and helping us to become our best selves.
Yeah, so it's like with me, even though I'm of the Solar Rishi entity, I'm living in darkness for over 10,000 years, captured apart with this fallen angel. So I had the pleasure of, it was like 6 weeks ago, to be released from this fallen angel, and, you know, to be basically on the Christ side.
Did you ask to be released from the dark side? Were you intentionally focused on that, or were they helping you out, knowing you in your mind?
Well, I did all this process with Becca B, our girl, and she basically, it was up to the council, but I had a vision of soaring as a dragon and this individual, I said, just somebody on my back. And all of a sudden it lifted up and turned into an angelic being and went through a portal. So the contract was over.
Right. And the dreams are reality. So, you know, you saw that. Yeah. So you saw that, and you, if that flew away to allow this other positive new you come in. Bravo. Yeah. That's really exciting. I had some, the last 6 weeks, last couple of months, this whole year has just been filled with uploads, downloads, positivity. It's crazy. As much as there's a lot of division going on in the world, we don't even go to. We don't go there. Yeah. So, you know, but congratulations. So that's, and so did you say you are also learning about more sacred geometry too? Because,
that part is over with. It's all done. All the codes are on file to everybody to be released. So now it's just to me, they're getting, figuring out how I can be a vessel for that. And that's really, you know, when I release a code, it's through my words, it's through a song. You know, you can even type an email and you're releasing these codes and restructuring the architecture. So for me to build a healing center for children, their parents, their families, the architecture comes in, and that's what I have to, well, this has got to be based on love. This has got to be based on compassion. This is the architectures that, of course, I got a design of a building. It's all right. Going to be bio, you know, that's, we do that, right? That's automatic. Oh yeah, right. See this and see that. But it's really, it's the architecture of emotions that we need to, it's broken down. And if we, or when I align my heart, a reset with love and compassion, all of a sudden it flows. So it's not a matter of me, you know, trying to figure out, make a drawing. It's a matter of me surrendering and resetting in a heart of love and compassion. Then the geometry already comes out. The architecture is starting to be structured. So help comes. You know, when I was, I've been trying to build this center, for another 14 years. And I had everything, even the governor come after me. You know, it was like all these different waves of attack. And I was like, what the heck? But it was just, that was the architecture that I needed to study. And it happened on purpose, if I liked it or not. I had to go sit in a institution when I was 15 years old. That happened if I liked it or not. So situations basically were aligned so I would fall into them. And I just had to be there to gather all this information. But now I'm saying is all this information is available. So it's a matter of how can we get to a place where we can help children. And the real issue would be with always the parents, because we're like our parents. And of course, parents don't want anybody to start telling their child this or that or going on and what's that. But it's more like you reset the architecture and the geometry with love. And all of a sudden the parents say, okay, let's do this. We'll come in for counseling. We'll come in to look at the issues, you know. I definitely suffered severely from parental inversion. When I was young, my dad and mom, their emotional relationship, physical relationship broke apart. So there's Ray, my mom.
I think most of us did, I think. But, you know, yeah. What's cool is when we reset our own architecture and blueprint inside us, when we do the work of restructuring our 2x4s, our elevations, our blueprint. I've been in interior design for 50 years. I mean, I live in my design. I am my design. And I spent 50 years going through the back door healing people through their interiors, from my BFA, then my interior design degree, and then I went to architecture school and then sustainability school. And I started working with kids at age 19 because I thought I want to help those 6 to 12-year-olds with being creative. How can I take my kids in Boulder at age, you know, 19 when I'm going to college and go to this little school after school and after I was working part-time down to do grave rubbings and to collect leaves and create art and get scared kids who had emotional issues. And I've worked with problem kids, smart kids, all different kids, then worked it with suicidals at the Boulder Community Hospital a couple of summers. So back then I was going, do I want to go into the happy part of design or this? But I still have always on the side helped other people like me to help them get on their path to how can I be the best me? How can I shift my energy and really be fully awake and conscious and happy? It's the joy of who I'm supposed to be. So that's the cool thing about now. And it's like, oh, duh, of course I went through all those stages for the last like 55, well, six, well, I was on a craft 65 years ago, started, and I was off last week working on interiors on, you know, solar, other planets in the solar system, on a craft with Andromedans last Thursday night for a few hours, teaching the adults about what it's going to be like living on Earth. So, and I've been teaching kids, you know, and I've been working with kids, you know, with books that I've done. I've been working on two more kids' books. And the school that I'm going to be working on too, the healing center that I'm going to be working on, is all about love. Today, it's all about healing and love. And that's why your school is going to be so beautiful. And I've loved our talks about this. I'd love to really help out. There's so much fear in schools today too. I mean, kids, yes, it's the community. It's the parents, first of all, the school and the community. And they need, you know, it does take a village to help kids like you and I have learned, and a lot of us here listening, because we're all healing together, to see how we can build better structures on the mind, body, spirit. I call it bringing the outdoors indoors, whether it's nature outside into our interiors of our homes, or the nature of finding Earth's, Mother Earth's, and Gaia's frequency that we're all striving for anyways. And I've always felt so connected to Mother Earth, and I know you have too. To really, it's that choice, it's the work, it's the love that's taken us to the, we brought ourselves to here now, to be able to create. And your school will just continue. When I worked on hospitals, like I was doing healing gardens 25 years ago at Marin General Hospital, and they'd say, we can't use healing plants. I said, how can we not have healing plants? The government in DC would not give me healing plants for our healing garden. I said, well, how are we supposed to teach other cancer people that this is what's healing them? So anyway, you and I have both been really on lifelong missions. And when we all look back on the steps we've taken to get where we are today, there are very many similar paths. You know, it's the darkness to the light, and that's where we are. And that's why we're here, be here now is why we're doing that and working on your school. I'd love to infuse some of my love of aesthetics and design and sustainable practices of using natural materials and just positive energy like you already have. I told you when I designed school for architect, design school like 38 years ago, I did a round building rotating with the sun with solar panels. I didn't even know what they were back then. You just started to think about them. On 2 acres, and there were gardens and a picnic table, because I grew up in Lake Michigan, there's a little lake, you know, so it's all the places where we can find sanctuary in our lives with a little bit of nature, feeling the sun, having clean air, clean water, this is all clean, non-toxic paint that I have here, real wood floors. I've recycled furniture and art that I love that I've been given that I've made myself or my kids have. So anyway, when we weave together with honesty and intention and love, then bingo. When I worked on the two schools in Africa 10 years ago in the middle of Zambia that was in an AIDS crisis, my friend had a school there that her parents started, and when they lived there, like, you know, for her whole life. And I said, what kind of art did they teach at this school called Red Fox School in Zambia, in the middle of Africa? Yeah. And she said, well, they don't have art. I said, well, your parents started this. How can you? And she's not an artist, obviously, or creative in that way. She's great in other ways. But I said, when are you going next? And she said, in 3 weeks. I said, I'm coming with 4 duffel bags. Can I teach art? You're going during Easter. They'll be out of school. Can I come and bring masks and feathers? And I bought out the five and dime here and paid for my flight. I'll pay for the housing. I was like, are you kidding? But anyway, so I went. And these kids, we were watching people walking down the street every day in this poor, beautiful town with the AIDS viruses. I guess this was 10, 12 years ago. And then we'd see little caskets like this big, and then the kids would be crying. We'd be outside doing all these art projects. And it was like one procession after the other of death. And it was like, and we'd lie down and we'd do body mapping and, you know, healing and music. And we made it fun and happy in the time of crisis in their old lives. We brought in good water. I mean, it was, and we painted that. I stayed a couple extra days and we painted all the walls, fresh colors, got the parents in. I was supposed to have like 60 people. We ended up with 300. So we were like painting cinder block walls. And then we hung all the art up there. And then they asked me to come back the following year, and I just can't afford to keep going. But that's what, when we instill the love in every action that goes into a school or ourselves or our children or our home or our community, then we are doing our part that we are here on the planet right now to play. And that's why we're all here right now at this, in this lifetime, because this is the year, the action year, the change year. We're coming out of this 12 year cycle, but a long cycle of, and the age of Aquarius is going to be the real dawning of the age of Aquarius. We're in it right now. And that's why everything's moving at speed, the speed of light, and so many uploads and downloads. We're waking up, more people are waking up. It's like so fast. We have to keep up with it or we'll miss this huge wave right now that's this starting this year and going, well, started the last couple of years, but and then into next year. So if we set our intentions for this year, the seeds will reap next year too for the rest of our lives while we're here, and then we'll just keep doing it next time up there wherever we go. So I'm so excited about the school. What can you talk about the school a little bit? Hillside, right?
Yeah, Hillside Mission. And it's more like we set an intention of how do we show compassion? How do we express our love? And really, it's a matter of working with a plan that's going to incorporate people that are going to have this heart. And they're going to come in and basically open up doors. And it's more like it's going to be small and have small domes and separate rooms. And it's going to be able to sit there and experience a release of these toxic emotions and be able to start to find ways to refill that space that were left by the toxic emotions.
Love and design and quality people that are there to instill positivity and show kids, these are the rules we live by. Manners, please and thank you, all the basics that we, you know, we grew up with, and just the basics of life, and participate, be activists in your own community, get involved in your church or your school, tell the truth, share with other people. If you have issues, you know, you're creating a sanctuary, a place where people can feel safe and be themselves. And it's taken me a long time too, like you, to really fully come into who we are. Of course, that'll keep going on, but to create a sacred space of intimacy and truth and love and resilience, allow people to speak their truth and to be able to help individuals. That's why I've taught my whole life too. I mean, nothing's more beautiful than watching a smile on a kid's face and creating books and products, and like the beautiful Hillside Mission that you're doing is just incredible. So yahoo.
Yeah, mentoring is very important.
Yes.
So a lot of times the kids come in today, they're born today, they have a higher energy and they can see through a false, you're trying to act like you're going to help them. They can see right through it. It's just they're coming equipped to be protect themselves from the dark side.
Right. Well, they're all the new humans, the indigos that are coming in spades. But for the ones that aren't, you know, even though a lot of them are, we still need to be there to help the others, more majority of those millions of kids that are coming in, waking up, they're helping us because we've screwed up so badly in the last few lifetimes. They are teachers. And that's why it's so important to, they are leaders and are voices of the now and the future. And that's why we have to teach them well, give them the support and the love to help make their choices for themselves, to give and be able to react to all the ups and downs that they're going to go through the next couple of decades. I mean, it's, you know, schools have not been safe places. Homes have not been safe places. I mean, we see the schools, the community, and what you're building. We want to create safe havens. So people, and that's why small, intimate is always the best. I mean, kids went to, maybe your kids did too, here in San Francisco, went to small, wonderful schools where they were supported in all the aesthetics in all different ways, from love of nature to, I mean, they were getting yoga back at Montessori school, and they're in their 30s now. So if we pick and choose the right schools with the right attitude, or at least an attitude of positivity and devotion to their wellness and health and happiness, then, I mean, what a beautiful gift.
Yes.
Nothing better, right? Speaking to the prayer, the choir here.
Well, the elephant in the room is the older generations.
Well, we know that.
That got traumatized and went through the whole array of abuse.
Well, I did too. But you know, that's why we're here, to lift them too. That's why I do a lot of work with seniors too. I'm 72 next month, and I love that I feel younger and better than I've ever felt. And your school will teach that. Everything in our actions, all we want to do is lift them up. And one by one, one nice action, one nice smile, one nice lift can help those. Yeah, seniors and a lot of other negative. I mean, it's all ages. A lot of every generation now has their negative. You know, blinders on in certain ways. So we'll get through that. We can, if we believe we can really shift everybody, we can. It's going to be the parents, the kids, the grandparents, all ages, and they will feel the love when they walk into Hillside Mission because of the colors and the art. I mean, when I started with a couple other people, Ronald McDonald House here, like 25 or 28 years ago, I asked really wonderful people to be on the board. We had really fun parties. I got most of the furniture donated. I painted Big Bird on the wall. It was popular back, whatever that was. And got furniture donated. And I designed rugs because I had a rug business in Indian Hong Kong at the time. I designed rugs with crayons on them for that specific project. I was selling them in showrooms and stores around the country then. But for them, and it came to life. And I still get invited all these years later, every once in a while, to their dinners. And the kids and the parents just love it because it was a home away from home for seriously ill children. And I said, we can't hire, you know, $1,000 a day painting person. I'll just come in and paint Big Bird and happy people on the walls. And I brought my students in from the Academy of Art College. We painted walls and just like we did in Africa. So there's always a village there of who want to get involved. We just have to gather them. It's like it does take a village, and I'll fly out there whenever you want and spend a week during construction, before, after, and help you with the creative part of it, because that's sort of what I have always done and I care about. But I know your community will step up to the plate to. It's like a Habitat for Humanity that my family's done. It's really just sparking that light. If you build it, they will come. And I'm sure if you start with even your, whether it's a nonprofit or not, start with asking for help, people will love to help you because your intentions are so pure and based in love and commitment to kids and their families and community.
And the big thing is a lot of the children today have the geometry to help their parents, to help their grandparents. This is real.
Yeah, no, it is real. It's incredible. They're waking up. And if we stay awake and keep helping in our little ripple effect every day, like what we're doing right now, we're playing our part to help raise the vibration. It's all about good vibes. My galactic family say that I create good vibe art and design on and off planet. And that's what my father did, my grandfather did as a rocket scientist. And now I'm moving into the interiors. And literally when I heard a few weeks ago that I've been going into craft, 4 mile long craft that are a craft that's 4 miles round, like circumference, right? That's got 50 foot high ceilings, and they've been, the Andromedans heard about me from the Pleiadians and Arcturians that I've been doing interiors with. So I was there helping them on a craft I've done on planet here, designed forever, from AIDS to, you know, homeless to every kind of, because I've been involved community for my whole life. My parents taught me about that. Mm-hmm. And I did that, do that naturally because I want to. But anyway, and then I know I've taught kids in the Pleiades in holograms that I can't see yet because I'm not advanced enough yet or there or not. I haven't let go of my fears or my blocks, whatever it is. But they've seen me teaching off planet for 15, 20, 30 years to children. But now that I heard I was going on spacecraft too, because those are, you know, those 40-foot long ones, I was there the last couple of weeks, two times in two different Andromedan ones. They were like sister ships. And there were 700 to 800 people, beings, all different kinds of beings there. And they were having me do art for the walls and asking about what I would suggest for their interior design. And that was so cool. I actually got glimpses of it when I went up the other night because I've been asking so I could see these things and unblock from the old programs or my own fears or my PTSD or ADD, you know, all the, you know, I don't do anything. I'm just a pretty much happy person, but I still have blocks that I'm trying to get through. But they said that they just, and I said, why me? You know, when I talk to them through somebody, they said, oh, because we love your style. We've been watching, I've been watching you for a long time and you create positive energy and you listen to everybody and you just want to create happier, healthier spaces, which is what I've wanted to do forever. But now that I'm on these craft, I mean, I knew I'd been on craft teaching kids, but I never knew I was doing interiors now. So not only subsurface habitats on all the solar system planets and a couple of asteroids that are floating around with some of my hybrid children, but also with just bringing in art. And I can see, you know, they're 14, they're only like 5 feet by 10 feet or 20 feet tall. The ceilings are high. And these are labs mostly. They're watching Earth. And I said, what are you guys doing up there anyway? How long have you been there? And they said, oh, 25 or so years. We're floating around watching Earth. And what we love about you, why we brought you in, Mary, as a designer, and because I love science and math and I love design. And, you know, I just weave it all together into one thing, I guess. I don't know. That's what they say. It's not my words. But they said, we love that you honor Mother Earth so much that you always bring the outdoors indoors. And as the Andromeda Center where they said, oh, cool space. We like the big outdoor space. We like your white walls. Why do you do that? And I'm going like, well, because the art pops out and human beings pop out. We, you know, I like neutral backgrounds, basically. But anyway, so when they told me that I was working now with the Andromedans the last, you know, month or so, these couple of times, I thought, yahoo. That's really cool because it's the interaction, connecting inner and outer space on another level. And that's what we're doing. They're watching us. Hi, now. And that we're doing these things. And I can't even see most of this, but they tell me I'm doing it all the time. I've been told forever that I've been doing this. So that makes me feel so happy. I can't tell most people about that because it sounds a little crazy. Like my old clients, I'm, you know, stripping out now what I'm doing and like what you're doing. But it is, it's still a little bizarre to think that I actually, they take me and I'm there in like my age in full body form, sometimes in spirit, in a craft that's far miles long, watching Earth and in court at these labs. They're doing all these different kinds of like nice testing and they want to bring in the outdoors in my leaf patterns and some of the designs I have on the walls here. They like it. And I just said, I'm happy to keep inviting me. You know, I wish you'd warn me before I lose a few hours of sleep like the other night, but that's when they go and that's when they take me and I'm happily contributing my little talents to them there. So.
Well, if you need somebody to carry your stuff, I'll come with you and help you.
Yes, I'd like Ray wants to come with me. I mean, they just take me because of, you know, the family, they've been watching my family for like for millions of years and 94 generations. Yeah. And I keep saying, what more can I do? And they just keep saying, speak more, speak more, speak more, do more books, do more kids, do whatever you can. I have two speaking engagements this year. I'm speaking on, you know, interviews with you now that I was really scaredy cat to do starting like 3 or 4 months ago with beautiful Sheila Seppi on Conscious Awakening Network, who I just adore for her bravery and her going bigger every day to expand the communication of all the different parts of consciousness that she does so beautifully. It's really, she's one of the many miracles on the planet, but she's one of the shining stars right now who does it with pure love, pure consciousness. Teaches, has a wellness center in Leadville, in Eagle Vale, and is just one of the purest beings I've ever met on the planet. only here to serve like we're doing. So it's we're lucky ducks to be here talking about it, because, you know, those little ripples go out, and this time is so important, and this year is so important, this moment's so important. So
one of the things I wanted to mention is what's really on my heart is some children in space that have been orphaned or some results of some kind of project. I want them to come to Earth and come down here and experience this. So basically, you're doing a spaceship, bring it down here.
Well, they're coming. They've been telling me for 15 or 20 years that I'm going to help when ETs come to the planet. I just had a couple hundred hybrid children. I have learned recently, and people can believe it or not, that I have 4,500 hybrid children because of my DNA, because of my family involved in the programs and the DNA and NASA and the government and the military for so long. I mean, my grandfather started his company in 1893 and they sold it, you know.
Yeah, so we needed it.
We're already doing that. They are here. They're already 14. There are already millions of kids here, but that's what we want to do. I mean, they're already, I love it that we're teaching here and we're teaching up there, and we'll all be providing housing and teaching. And so will you for these kids who are coming. We all need help. And they said up there, well, I said, why me up there? And they said, well, they want to understand. They ask you, they trust you. You've traveled all over the world. They ask, where town should we go to? When we come to Earth, it's like, where do we go? Everybody's obsessed by going to Mars or the moon or the sun. They're asking me. That was what was so crazy about these little trips. These last two trips I went on weren't just to help subsurface habitats for way stations for beings and humans to traverse the solar system. But this was solely, they said, what are the different cultures, Mary? You've been part of the hybridization program. You've traveled all over the world. You've done projects like this all over the world. What do you suggest? And I'd say, well, you have to look at the culture. There's China. There's, what do you want? A mountainous area? Do you want a small, safe town? Most of my Hubbard kids, of the few hundred that I know of, have moved to smaller towns on the planet. Whether it be China or South America, some of the hybrid kids, and I'm 12% human now and the rest hybrid. So I'm like sort of just a mush of Andromedan and Pleiadian and Arcturian and Sirian and Zeta Reticuli and other things.
They're no different than us.
We're asking you, and I'd never heard that before from anybody I've ever talked to. And I listen to these things and I learn every day, like we're both researchers trying to figure out how we can help. And they said, you're already helping people figure out where they come. What's the vibe like down here? And I said, well, you know, maybe if you don't want a big city like San Francisco, maybe you want to go to, you know, up the mountains of Colorado or go to Pennsylvania or go wherever you want or go some, you know, so I'm teaching them now what the Earth is like, what the options are. And I have been to Europe and China and India and New Zealand and Africa and South America and Japan and China. And I've worked and lived really all over in Italy and all over the world, really, in a lot of places, Singapore, I mean, all over. And it's been a blast. So I guess that's why they're asking my advice. And I just said, you know, pick small towns where you can adjust. Their dad said, when I was asking my dad, who's up right here with us somewhere in heaven the last 8 years, I said, where are most of the hybrids and ETs hanging? And he said, mostly, you know, are they mostly in the forests like Bigfoot or, you know, forests in all over the planet or underwater? And he said, yes, in the forest or smaller towns. Yes. So he agreed to all that. And now we know there are 14 or 20 million other people lifting up right now. And I know from these conversations that I've had the last few weeks with about the craft was with the different species on that craft were Arcturians, Pleiadians. So they're now asking me and other ones of us, I guess. I'm sure if they're asking me, they're asking a lot, you know, more advanced people, but they're asking me right now. That's all I know about. What's it going to be like down here? And I said, well, because I've been up there. You it takes time to adjust. You've got to pick the place, you know, research or do your R&D. But anyway, I think that's so cool that they've been asking would I help a lot of them when they come to, because I've had a real estate license too for 40 years and I've got bought and flipped houses and did that in Boulder and New Zealand and you know, everywhere. So I think they, you know, we're all picked for whatever gift or talent that they've been helping provide and train us for. And I guess that's one of mine. My father and my parents used to say, we want you to see the world. So, I mean, they started traveling. We started traveling. Their parents had done that for both of them. So anyway, you know, whatever our gifts are, we can start sharing more and more now if we ask and say, I'm open to it. So really cool.
I'm open.
I know. Well, let's do, I'd love to hear more about your school and share that more. And maybe if people are interested, they could contact you. And if they have any special talents, they could contact you in your email. What's your email or your website? Wherever people could, because we're about.
My email for now is hillsidemission@gmail.com. That's all small cap.
HILLSIDEMISSION. Hillside Mission.
Gmail.com.
So anyway, any parting words before we get off today onto our other lives?
That's the whole thing. We have to be open that this is going to be a planet 10, 15 years where interracial, it's going to be interspace breeds coming in and establishing a home for children that are stuck on spaceships or in some kind of cavernous section just because of the situation here. So all the negative influences are going to leave and we'll be able to expand and ascend and grow as the intergalactic community. That's really what it's going to be about.
And it's really happening in the next 3 years. I mean, they're coming a lot more. I keep talking to different people. But also, I just want you to know, because I know a lot of my hybrid kids and most hybrid kids are on a craft or in a small town, is because most Americans, most people on the planet, if you saw somebody walk up to you in downtown San Francisco or New York with big eyes or a different structure, because we are hybrids, and I have a lot of them, and I've talked to some of them, they would be treated like my kids in South America. One of my sons is 27 years old. He lives in a little town in Costa Rica. He was made fun of. So they get dropped into, they go to small towns where they will feel safe and not be ridiculed, into nice small towns. They're basically, it's like a stork takes them to a nice family where they get basically adopted. Most of them don't know that they are from somewhere else. Most of them don't know who I am, other than I'm a lot of their DNA, because I have several thousand kids with many different species, mostly Pleiadian, Arcturian, and Sirian, and Andromeda, but with many others. So they are on the craft, like Barbara Lamb and I talked about in her book. They're on the craft because it's safer for them to be on the craft because they look so different. They have thinner hair. A lot of the hybrids, they would be made fun of. Their space friends, they learn basics. They learn fun things about the world, and they would not fit here. But when they start coming, there will be, over time, they're already here, and there are many more coming the next 3 or 4 years. We're going to have a lot more big wake-up calls that they're coming. They will find safe havens like your school over time and other schools and other places in nice. And that's what I kept saying, what I was saying to them the last couple of times I've talked to them, is they will find nice small towns to live in where they will be accepted, looking a little bit differently as they do. And we're eventually going to end up over time, because of flight and back and forth and stuff, we're going to end up looking like little grays and, you know, million or hundreds of thousands of years anyway. So that's what we're going to look like then. So I just they're safer where they are. I mean, for right now, but they are coming. They're all coming. They are already here. So
and we welcome them.
Yeah, we do welcome them. So yes. Thank you today, Ray. I've loved talking with you. And thank you everyone for being here on Connecting with the Stars, and Ray and myself. And have a wonderful day. And thank you all for playing your part and being such a great contribution to this wonderful moment now we're doing. And thank you, Sheila Seppi, for creating Conscious Awakening Network. Thanks to all. Have a good one.